Good morning, heart friends. My spiritual path includes getting involved with our heart center as it was being launched. I was present at David Lewis's first public dictation of an ascended master. That happened at Patricia Murphy's home in North Glastonbury. I was the first broadcaster that Boyd Batten trained. So I was part of the original team at the Wellspring Retreat that started the daily morning services. So, to remain humble, I guess it's best to assume I had a lot of karma to balance. So that's why I got this opportunity to get involved with the new dispensation of the Heart Center so early on. My full name is Kenneth Carl Mueller Jr., sharing the same name as my dad. My mom, reasoning that one Ken in the house was enough, decided to nickname me KC after my initials. So I actually went by the name Casey until I became involved with the Summit Lighthouse activity much later in my life. I was born in August 1952. Our family, mom, dad, and one older sister lived on Long Island, New York. My dad worked in the automobile industry. My mom was a stay-at-home wife, mother, and homemaker. I have wonderful memories of my childhood, and I'm grateful to my parents for providing me and my sister a stable and nurturing environment to grow up in. My dad was transferred to the Philadelphia area when I was about 3 years old. My school years were all spent in the suburbs of Philadelphia and in eastern Pennsylvania. My mother insisted on giving us children a good Christian upbringing. She herself was not entirely satisfied with the Protestant religion of her parents and could be termed a seeker at a time we kids were in our formative years. She sent us to a few different Sunday schools as she experimented with different denominations in her search to find a church group that could answer her important questions about religion and life. My dad left the religious stuff up to mom. So I remember going to one Sunday school where I met a black kid for the very first time. I genuinely liked him and wanted to be his friend. Later, my sister and I were riding a bus on Sundays to go to a Baptist Sunday school. I recall listening to a discussion about an infant that had just died. The important point was that the child had been baptized before dying and so could get into heaven. They were essentially saying that without that outward baptism ceremony, that baby was in danger of eternal damnation. I think I was 8 or 9 years old then. I recall feeling really uneasy about a God that would judge me, seeing if I was baptized in that church or not. By this time, we had moved to a neighborhood further out in the country suburbs of Philadelphia. Our next-door neighbors happened to belong to a Swedenborgian church. Our family often drove by the large cathedral where these neighbors attended services. It was along one of the main roads we often traveled to visit the grandparents on the weekends. Before long, my mother started attending church services there. Soon after, my parents decided to enroll me and my sister in the private church school. My high school career then was going to the Academy of the New Church, a parochial prep school with excellent academic credentials. Aside from the requisite subjects of a good liberal arts education, all students were grounded in the doctrines of the church by attending mandatory religion classes. I studied the tenets of Swedenborg's writings for 4 years. As it turned out, my classes in religion were about the only subject where I was an A student. Many of you have heard of Emanuel Swedenborg, as he is known in our community as the Ascendant Master Emanuel of Sweden, who has delivered a number of heart streams through David at Heart Center events in Sweden. At the Academy, I was introduced most significantly to the concept and my personal acceptance of the idea of progressive revelation. Swedenborg is regarded as a revelator who had brought the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. The branch organization I belong to taught that Swedenborg's revelations are the fulfillment of Christ's second coming. To me and my mom, it just meant that God communicates to his people in an ongoing process of progressive revelation. We took the attitude that we should keep our eyes open to discover what revelations are taking place today. A few important takeaways from my education there. Number one, the true Christian religion has a rational path to salvation. No born-again instant salvation here. To Swedenborg, the spiritual path is a lifelong process he defines as regeneration. This describes the human transformation from materiality to spirituality. So his was the 18th century introduction to what we would call today the initiatic path, or what we know from the Ascended Master teachings as the path of personal Christhood. Number two, Swedenborg introduced the science of correspondence in what he calls the internal or spiritual sense of the word. Behind the literal sense of the sacred scriptures is a spiritual and even celestial meaning. It is these higher spiritual underpinnings that make the Bible holy or divine. And number three, the New Testament book of Revelation has a depth of symbology and mystical correspondence taught in the heavenly doctrines of Swedenborg. And by the time I reached my early 20s, I firmly came to believe we are living in the time of the apocalypse, although it was much later before I realized we are in the Battle of Armageddon. Now, the teaching of Swedenborg gives students an introduction of what the spiritual path of initiation entails. However, compared to what Master Omram and the Summit Lighthouse have to say, Swedenborg is quite preliminary on that subject. For me, it took a number of years, and specifically the guidance of the Ascended Master teachings, to have a greater, more fully developed sense of what being on the spiritual path really means for an individual. After high school, I had a break from formal education for a couple years when I worked in a high school buddy's painting business, and also for my dad, who by this time had acquired his own car dealership. I then applied to attend a nearby community college, continuing to work part-time at my dad's business. I obtained an Associate's of Arts degree, a two-year program. Still not sure what career path I wish to pursue, I ran into an opportunity to go to Alaska when the Alaska Oil Pipeline was being constructed. This in turn led to my being able to attend a vocational school program in oil field technology, which gave me enough training to obtain work on the oil rigs. I first hired out in the winter of 1979 and continued working in the oil fields of Alaska more or less consistently until around 1992. By the way, I had decided not to take over the car dealership my dad owned, which at the time was a serious consideration in that I was the only son in the family. Now, I know you guys and gals are going to find it hard to believe, but I was a pretty wild and crazy guy back in those days. I had some substance abuse issues, and quite frankly, I was losing my way. I was living a bachelor life as an oil field roughneck, making good wages, partying, and chasing the city nightlife. A significant and wholesome habit I did develop was studying the techniques of copywriting in the sales letters of mail order marketers of that time. I was amazed how information product salesmen, the how-to info marketers, were able to create for themselves what seemed like a dazzling and profitable lifestyle by learning to write good copy on paper. And they did this from the comfort of their home. I bought and read quite a few of their manuals on how to obtain riches from mail order selling information products. That was a dream I knew someday would liberate me from the oil fields. Importantly, when many of these same marketing gurus made the transition to the internet, when it came along decades later, I possessed the same motivation to learn how to use the tools of the internet to sell instructional how-to information. Fortunately, I continued reading spiritual books as well. My mother and I would share with each other books we found to be worthwhile and informative. Along came 1986 when I purchased the first book I ever read published by the Summit Lighthouse. Only a short while later, my mom sent me two more books of the Summit Lighthouse. There was an occult bookstore in Anchorage, Alaska, and that's where I bought many of the Summit's books. I didn't learn what the science of the spoken word was until I read quite a number of those books. I had read The Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda somewhat earlier. I went to a workshop in this time frame that was held at the Ananda community run by Swami Kriyananda, one of his disciples. I was very impressed by the people and property at Ananda. It was like a two-day workshop, so I stayed overnight there on the property, and I felt drawn to the idea of living in a spiritual community. I ended up hopping a jet to attend the Spring Summit Lighthouse event in Dallas. That was my first conference, and this was the Easter class 1987. Archangel Gabriel was my first live dictation I heard through the messenger, Elizabeth Clare Prophet. I made the decision to attend Summit University, which was moving the church headquarters to Montana. I enrolled for the first quarter, taught at the Royal Teton Ranch. While at the ranch, still attending SU Level 1, I reached the eighth lesson of the Keepers of the Flame fraternity. I remember writing my letter to the messenger and the night commander to join the Keepers of the Flame fraternity while sitting on the grass up in the heart of the inner retreat. When 1989 rolled around, many of you will remember that the CUT activity was encouraging the students to help build the fallout shelters being prepared in Montana. I had gained some very usable skills for just this sort of thing, having worked as a roustabout and as a welder's helper for 2 years in my early oil field career. So I came to Glastonbury to work on a shelter project that a SU classmate had joined up with. That turned out to be a life-changing event that eventually led me to move to and purchase property in the community of South Glastonbury. By 1994, I had made a complete break from my oil field career in Alaska. I had moved to Montana. My long experience in the oil fields and lacking a 4-year college degree kept my job options somewhat limited. As fate would have it, I ended up working at Golden Ratio Woodworks, the massage table manufacturer started by our beloved John Fanuzzi. I met and soon married a lady in the church. Her name was Nancy Christian. We know her today as Nancy Colsey. When we got married, I became the stepdad of her 14-year-old son, Leif Christian. His natural father, Dana, lived in Livingston nearby, so we shared in the father role of helping bring Leif into manhood. Thank God he had the love of his mom to help him keep his head on straight. Also, his stepmom, Sonia Christian, helped Leif get through those tough teenage years. Nancy had attended Summit University the same quarter as David Lewis back in 1975. Nancy had befriended David at SU and continued that friendship through the years, following with interest his career path as a staff member of the church. Now we know that by 1998, our Guru Ma was suffering from a brain health condition that soon forced her into early retirement from her executive leadership role and also to that of the messenger. The church community was going through some heavy-duty changes without her at the helm. Nancy and I were bewildered by what we were witnessing, and we were unhappy with what the church leadership was doing. We essentially stopped going to the ranch for regular services, although we still attended our own South Glastonbury Teaching Center on occasion. I had been, meanwhile, observing and studying the rapid growth and evolution of this new innovation called the Internet. I built my first website in 2003. I still had that dream of mail order riches, only now it was destined to be online riches. Leaf, my teenage resident electronic device genius, was 18 or 19 by this time and helped me get up and running in the computer and internet world. I made a little income with my first website, mostly with Google advertising on my web pages. I created another website after getting discouraged with the products I was marketing through various affiliate marketing programs. Affiliate marketing, as you know, is a business model where you get commissions on sales by driving traffic to merchant sites from your own website. I hadn't yet found a product or niche that I found rewarding from my vantage as a keeper of the flame. In the spring of 2002, a friend in Glastonbury offered me a painting job. I already had quite a bit of experience painting. I was not happy with my hourly wage at Golden Ratio and jumped at the chance to make a better wage in exterior painting. I got into a routine of being really busy in the summer months as a painter. The painting would slow down in the winter, and I would use that time to pursue learning how to make money online and increase my skills in building websites that sell. Being married to Nancy and also being involved in the circle of Wellspring and Golden Ratio folks put me in a prime position to become acquainted with what was happening right at the time that David Lewis went public with his new role as messenger for the Great White Brotherhood. Nancy and I, looking back, believe that it was a great blessing to be supportive of David in his co-founding and launching of the Heart Center, especially as it was getting started at the Wellspring Retreat, which is only a 5-minute drive from where we lived in Glastonbury. Though we are no longer a married couple, yet Nancy and I continue to be heart friends. And though the Wellspring endeavor didn't come to fruition as a Heart Center retreat facility, yet we're both very appreciative of the opportunities we had to help the Heart Center activity grow in those early days. As recently as 2015 and 2016, I had built two websites with a part-time affiliate marketing income as the goal. I created these during the winter months using a popular website platform, WordPress. And although those sites were unsuccessful in a monetary way, yet they gave me a valuable learning experience and allowed me to get more up to speed in the contemporary blogging arena. Those two websites, though recently retired, served their purpose as I was able to use them in my resume and portfolio when I applied for a part-time position of web presence team leader for the Heart Center. I consider it a great blessing and opportunity to work, grow, and learn in this position for the Heart Center and look forward to increasing my skill set and abilities to help our community and the Ascended Masters reach a wider audience of heart friends worldwide using every tool of technology at our command. So it looks like my wishes came true after all. I am now helping to sell how-to information on the Internet. Not only that, it's among the very best how-to info on the planet. God bless our heart-centered community with all the abundance we require to accomplish the goals and projects our loving sponsors afford us. Thank you, Souls of Light, for your service and love.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you very much for sharing your story and how wonderful the Masters have prepared you and life has prepared you for this wonderful position you have in assisting us here in the Heart Center to go forward with our internet site and all of our teachings. And it's interesting you call them how to, yes, how to win your ascension, how to improve your life by tuning into the Masters.
How to become the Christ, become the Buddha.
How to. That's great. Thank you, Ken. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Okay, take care.